Joining me right now, the director of the Free Market Institute over at Texas Tech University, the Free Market Institute, which seems like it continues to grow and grow and get bigger and bigger. Dr. Ben Powell, welcome back.
Hey, Chad. Good to be here. And yeah, we love growing the Free Market Institute.
Yeah, and it has been. And y'all have been getting a lot of recognition out there.
Yeah, we just hired three new professors who are going to join us in the fall semester. So excited to be growing. Things are going great here at Tech.
That's great. For folks who, before we get into why exactly you're here, tell folks who have not heard about the Free Market Institute. I know we've had you on a few times, but you know, those who maybe haven't caught one of those segments, tell folks a little bit about the Free Market Institute.
Sure. On a postcard, our mission is to promote the study and teaching of free market economics. So we teach classes at Tech, work with graduate students, do research, and also put on public programming for the students and faculty at the university, but also the greater Lubbock community. We invite you all to come to our events, and that's what brings me here today, is talking about one of those.
That's right. And a big topic that's out there that has really dominated at least the news cycles. They haven't done much in Congress, but it's dominated the news cycles, and that's immigration policy.
Yeah, and it's a topic that, as a free market institute, our kind of usual supporters who love free markets are divided on this issue of conservatives who want to restrict immigration and conservatives who are free market guys and want free trade in labor like they do in goods and services. So we thought this was a perfect event to put a debate on for the public, to hear both sides of it and see what people think.
Yeah, and you've got, what, two people coming?
So we've got two. Well, actually, we have one person coming in and one local now. So we have Dr. Brian Kaplan from George Mason University coming in, who takes a position of radical open borders, let any number and any quantity, you know, from any country in, you know, through legal checkpoints or whatever, not willy nilly jumping the Rio Grande. But we have that perspective, and then we were supposed to have Dr. Herb London coming in to debate him, who's written a paper opposing this, and unfortunately, he had a heart condition come up this weekend, and he's not going to be able to make it. He's going to be able to make it in the broader sense, but he's not going to be able to make it to Lubbock. So graciously filling in for him is Dr. Steve Balch, who runs an institute at Texas Tech as well, the Institute for the Study of Western Civilization, as a friend and colleague, and actually a friend of Herb's, who was supposed to be here. And he's going to take the we should not significantly liberalize immigration position, representing kind of Herb's view that he sent in on a paper, and then off the cuff responding to Brian. But it's kind of, it'll be fun for an academic event. You know, academics, man, Chad, it's boring often. You write something, you send it to a journal. It's like a year later, but by the time it gets published, you're like, I'm so done with that.
Right.
Debates are like the only thing that's the equivalent of the last 4 seconds in a basketball game with the ball in your hands type thing for us. So I love doing debates.
Well, and this should be a good one, because as you said, when you take a look at the Free Market Institute, and just those who are interested in the free market, you brought up people could go either way on this?
Yeah, well, what's interesting is the reasons they go either way. And this is why we want to have this debate, too, because a lot of the public debate is on the wrong things that are just non-issues. So economists certainly aren't universally in favor of more open immigration. But the reasons they are not differ widely from the general public. Economists who are opposed to greater immigration will admit that immigrants make the native-born of our country wealthier. They will say that they do not steal our jobs on net. And they'll say they don't depress our wages, except maybe high school dropouts, and even there, the effect is pretty small. So economists, when they oppose greater immigration, it's for really non-economic reasons. So these two are going to debate some of these other aspects about criminality, the welfare state, how it affects our political culture, things like that. They're basically both people who respect the state of the art of economic science on this, but still have different views.
Right. Interesting. That should be very interesting. Now, this is going to be tomorrow night. Where do people need to go to hear this debate?
This is tomorrow night in the Rawls College, on Texas Tech's campus. Come on in the first floor there. I think we're in room 101, and it'll be at 5:30 tomorrow. We'll go from 5:30 to about 6:30, 7 o'clock, somewhere in that range. We've got a cool back and forth format between both people, and then open for audience Q&A, which nothing generates questions, or I say hostile questions and assertions, like either position you hold on immigration. I get more hate mail on immigration than anything, Chad, and I write on sweatshops.
Yeah, and you were hated on sweatshops.
Hated and loved, but the immigration
okay,
one, man.
Well, hated by some of the students, let me put it that way, on some of the more liberal campuses out there who protest you with signs. They were very angry with you.
Yeah, that was
The economist agreed with you. The students students were very angry.
Yeah, well, the students start off angry, and then they, the ones who are, they, a lot of them just walk away feeling a little bit bad about themselves afterwards,
right,
and that they've held a cherished view that doesn't seem to be compatible with evidence. But that's a whole other topic.
When we look at immigration and the debate that's being held, I guess, in Congress right now, are they looking at it from an economic issue, or are they looking at it as a political? I mean, they're going to have to look at it as a political issue, obviously, because it is politics. But I mean, are they looking at it from enough of the economic model, in your opinion?
No, but you could replace the word immigration with anything else these clowns in Congress debate, and I would have the same reaction, as that they don't take an economic perspective enough. Listen, when it comes to immigrants, really, it's free trade and labor that we're talking about, which the economic case for is not different than free trade in goods and services. Of, they do things that they're relatively low-cost providers of, and that makes us better off, just like trade with goods from China. The difference, of course, with immigrants is that goods and services can't vote or protest or impact your institutions. So we have to be concerned with issues about assimilation and how they impact our legal, political structure in the long run. And unfortunately, I think actually America has increasingly done a poor job of that. If we had the individualist culture of free markets, really, that we had in the 19th century, I think we could assimilate these immigrants just like we did then and get all gains. Mm-hmm. But even still, under current, the evidence seems to be they assimilate to our current political culture, which means they don't change your average outcome. More of them might be Democrats than Republicans, but the evidence so far is, in terms of our economic freedoms, immigration just doesn't impact it very much.
Well, and this is one issue that keeps coming up, that even here in the state of Texas, with Battleground Texas and the Democrats trying to turn Texas blue, one of their what they will say is that if we can focus on immigration, if we can focus on these issues, then all of these, whether they be illegal immigrants or the Hispanic population in Texas, they'll all go and vote Democrat, which is not true. Well, we haven't seen that in Texas. That kind of works the same way throughout the U.S., right?
Well, I think one of the reasons they go vote Democrat is because of the way the Republican Party has treated them in recent years. But either way, it's not clear to me, if this is true that they will vote Democrat, that it doesn't impact our economic freedoms necessarily, because it's not clear to me that the Republican Party is all that much more pro-market than the Democrat, at least in terms of the mainstream leadership of the parties.
Yeah. Well, we haven't seen that in years. We
had 8 years of the big government Bush.
Right.
Now we have big government Obama. I'm not clear that immigrants voting for one party or the other changes our lives.
So what does it take to change?
Oh, I think, and this is part of our mission of promoting the teaching and study of free markets. People have to understand this, and I think broadly politicians follow what the average voter feels about their own ideology, and I think that's a problem that we all have as educators or believers in free markets. We got to get this population back to the kind of core ideas that America was founded on, and they have to discipline their politicians with it, because if they don't, politicians are going to continue to steal your freedoms and your money.
Yeah. Hey, visiting with Dr. Ben Powell, director over the Texas Tech Free Market Institute. I was looking the other day, and just for fun, and we actually, at our house, we have a friend in who's visiting from Canada. And so we were just talking about freedom, in the two countries. According to, I think it was Heritage Foundation, maybe Cato, whoever does the Economic Freedom Index, the United States, 12th, Canada, 6th. People don't realize that.
Yeah, there's actually two economic freedom indexes. There's that Heritage one, and then another one by a good friend of mine that the Fraser Institute publishes. And on that one, they have us at, I think, 18th.
Wow.
And Canada is also in the top 10. So whichever group was measuring it, the crazy belief about our socialist neighbor to the north, actually, they're less socialist than we are in some sense.
Yeah, which is amazing to think about. What type of – are there – and I don't want to get too political here, but – have you seen a more, maybe a candidate or two that is out there, or a potential candidate that, looking ahead in 2016, are you seeing anyone really bring up the type of principles that y'all are talking about?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, in the past, Ron Paul did more of that. I'm not really into politics and candidates. I don't follow them closely. Yeah. And in fact, if I associated with any one of them, I'd probably end up feeling bad about myself. So I prefer not to, to pick out somebody. But there are, some in the better part of the Tea Party Republicans that are more or less free market supporters.
Yeah. Yeah, espousing more but of a smaller government.
They're usually not the best advocates or best at articulating why we should care about free markets, because in the end, they're politicians who are pandering for voters and they right. screw up the ideas and the process. But there are some out there, and, yeah. and that's encouraging. Yeah. And part of this has been the blowback of Obamacare and candidates rising up against that.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Ben Powell, appreciate your time today. Remind folks one more time, tomorrow night's debate, what time and where?
Tomorrow, 5:30 in the Rawls College Room 101, should the United States significantly liberalize immigration? We have a pro and a con. On and it should be fun.
Yeah, everyone go out there. It's going to be a fun debate, and like you said, it will be open to questions from those who attend the debate.
Absolutely.
All right, Dr. Ben Powell, as always, appreciate your time.
Cool, thank you.